Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good Sunday morning, and welcome to Hot Topics, a presentation of Hot 99.5's Community Affairs Department on Duval's Only R&B. Here's Julie Morgan.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Julie Morgan. Today, we're talking about Alzheimer's, a disease of the brain. We're talking about how it affects the patient and their families. I'm joined by Michelle Branham with the Alzheimer's Association right here in Jacksonville. Michelle, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So today we're talking about, and I always, when I say this word, I feel like I have to pronounce the Z, but then I'm wondering, am I really supposed to pronounce the Z in Alzheimer's? Is it Alzheimer's or Alzheimer's? How do you pronounce it?
You know what? All of them work.
Okay,
really, the answer is that it's pronounced every different way. It's the researcher and scientist that found the disease. His last name is Alzheimer's. So it's a big name.
Okay. Learn something new every day.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, let's talk about your organization. Why did it get started?
We got started in 1980, and part of the reason being is that Alzheimer's was beginning to be a disease that was creeping into our lives in a way that we really didn't talk about. The way that cancer was, you know, years and years ago when I was young, people whispered about that. They whispered cancer. They didn't say that word. They said the C word. And then years later, it was HIV. We whispered those conversations. We didn't talk about them. Alzheimer's was diagnosed years and years ago, but it really wasn't until 1980 where people started to see the effects in much more broad ways. Now Alzheimer's is the sixth leading cause of death in America, and it's the only top 10 cause of death without a prevention, without a treatment, without a cure. So when we talk about causes of death for our country, we don't even have a survivor to point to. And that's why Alzheimer's has become such a huge priority. I think back in the day in 1980 when our organization was founded, it was an older person's disease. That's the way people saw it. People are going to die of something. This is the way people thought about it. Mom and dad, you know, they're just getting senile. That's the way we saw it. That's how grandpa was. He was just senile. And now we know that's not an ordinary aging. That's not the way we're supposed to age. We might forget things and we might become a little bit forgetful, but we're not supposed to forget who our children are or who our spouse is or who we are. We're not supposed to lose that much of our cognition. So Alzheimer's is becoming really a big priority as the entire generation of people. We call it a silver tsunami. But a bunch of us, we are all living longer, healthier lives. We've all figured out how to beat heart disease. We are beating cancer. We're learning how to prevent diseases. If we have diabetes, we know how to treat that. We know how to have a healthy life with it. So what happens is we all age into now a healthy lifestyle in our 50s and 60s and 70s, only to be diagnosed with Alzheimer's or another form of dementia. And that's just not what I want to see for America. I don't want to see us lose our minds in our 60s and 70s because we've had a healthy and fruitful life. So now we see it in the 50s and 40s. I have a good friend who's 52 with Alzheimer's, so it's not an old person's disease. It can attack anybody at any time. Now we know that we can see symptoms as early as 20s and 30s. We can see actual presence of disease. So we know you and I, younger people, the presence of the disease might be there for 20 years before we see actual symptoms.
When I think about this disease, I think about really, of course, how it affects the person that has it, but also how it affects the family.
Yeah.
Because when you think about it, what if that person forgets who their children are? They may not understand that they forgot that person, but the person that has been forgotten, it hurts.
It's so painful. And I think that's when you asked about what our organization does. We work for early detection, early diagnosis, so families can plan. Just like you said, Julie, it's very hard on a family. Alzheimer's is a long, long disease. Sometimes it can be 10 years, it can be 15 years. And it's a long time to be with a loved one who may or may not remember who you are, who may be aggressive when they weren't aggressive before, may feel isolated when that wasn't their personality before because their personalities changed so dramatically. So it's really hard on the families because a lot of the times the person is living at home, and that might be several generations of people experiencing this. And I think you and I talked about this before the show began. Caregiving can be a 24-hour proposition. It's like, you know, you worry about if they turn on the stove because they forgot what the stove does, if they go out and wander because they don't know where they are, or they're afraid of where they are, so they leave in the middle of the night. They do sundowning where their internal body clock has changed, so they pop up in the middle of the night and think it's the daytime. So caregiving is such a strenuous and burdensome possibility. So early detection, early diagnosis is something where we work really hard for, so families can start planning, and the person with the disease can also become part of their planning for what their caregiver team looks like, for what their future looks like. And then we provide support groups, education, so many resources for caregivers, knowing that they burn out and knowing that we lose a lot of caregivers before the patients themselves because they tend to dismiss their own health in lieu of taking care of their loved ones.
Have they figured out why their personalities change?
Yes, I think that's an interesting question. I think the brain is such an it's something we're still learning. Now we can do PET scans on people and we actually see the amyloid and the tau. But basically Alzheimer's is killing off pieces of the brain. And those taus and tangles kind of kill it off, or it's a living organism, it's a living organ. And if we cover it with sticky tar and plaques, that part dies. So, you know, it might be memory we lose, it might be spatial, where we don't understand exactly how far away the wall is or how close something is. So they lose driving privileges and freedoms like that very easily. Sometimes they can hear things because their hearing is off, their sight is off. Their decision-making gets compromised significantly. And that's all because it's in different parts of the brain. So when we say when you see someone with Alzheimer's, you see someone, just one person with Alzheimer's, because Alzheimer's treats everyone a little differently. My grandmother had it, and she was a very vibrant, vivacious person. She turned very quiet. And I think she was just afraid to engage because she couldn't find words to express herself anymore. So that happened. She also just got very isolated. She didn't want to be in public anymore. The noises kind of freaked her out. She would forget where the bathroom was in my mom's home, which she was in all the time. So just those kinds of things. But that's how it treated her. And other occasions, somebody might get aggressive because they're confused and they're scared. And that might cause some aggressive behavior. Some other people wander. They feel like they've got to get out and move around and walk away. That's where we see a lot of silver alerts in Florida. Most all silver alerts are Alzheimer's patients.
Can you plan to help them remember? Can you put together a book, pictures? Will that help some patients?
I love that question because the answer is yes. We have several tools that I think are beautiful memory tools. Now, they're not going to restore memory, but they do help us trigger memory points and sometimes plug into a memory that's been lost for a little while. So those scrapbooks you talked about are great. Sometimes we might go over the same scrapbook every day because it's new to them every day. Sometimes music, we have a beautiful music program because music touches senses. Glenn Campbell is a primary example of that. He forgot everything but how to play the guitar because music sort of touches us in this deep prophetic way. So music tends to stimulate things. And then we have memories in the making where they paint. And sometimes just seeing a picture of something and being asked to paint in a very therapeutic way trigger some memories too. So yes, there's lots of wonderful things that you learn in our free education programs and support groups that you can do that really help your loved one. Some great points, like something I used to do with my grandmother is I would correct her. Mm-hmm. Like, no, grandma, it's Michelle talking to you. don't correct her. You know what I mean? Let her be present in her moment. So, because it lets her know something's wrong and it keeps reminding her that she's off base. So I learned to just let her be. And she would say things 20 times in a row. And then she would say, I said that lots of times. And I said, no, we're doing great, Graham. Keep going. So I just gave her permission to just be her. And I didn't correct her or trigger any acknowledgement that she was off track, unless it was compromising her safety.
And if someone has Alzheimer's, will they lose possibly their short-term memory versus their long-term memory, or is it just different?
I think it treats everybody a little differently. Sometimes, like my grandmother, it would just be repetition. She's obviously her short-term memory shot. Other people might have a decent short-term memory, but they might forget words. And I mean, you and I forget words. We forget sometimes what that word is or what that person's name was. But I'm talking about the ability to speak and recall normal everyday words. Some people, it's like I said, it's a spatial thing. So I think it treats different memories in different ways. Some people have really bad days and then good periods of time where they have great days and then will have a really bad day again. So it really depends on how the disease treats you. And honestly, I think you triggered a good point for me, which is living a healthy lifestyle, knowing your numbers, making sure that your blood pressure is on point, that you're exercising. We recommend a good Mediterranean style diet. We recommend 30 minutes of exercise a day. All these things pump blood and oxygen through the body. That health really helps the health of your brain. So, you know, we find that people who are more active and eating well tend to do better, and they will stay in the earlier stages of the disease maybe a little bit longer than somebody who's not healthy.
Hot 99.5, keeping you up to date with what's happening in the community. This is Hot Topics on Hot 99.5.
Now, earlier you mentioned some of the programs, and you said that scrapbooking or, you know, the pictures, that's something that you bring up in your programs to help those caregivers. What else do you tell them to help them get through this?
I think a lot of questions I get is obviously if your loved one is experiencing some mild cognitive impairment in the beginning, you don't know what it is. You think mom's getting forgetful. You see signs, but sometimes we don't want to recognize those signs. That's when it's really important to make sure the finances are secure and that you might have somebody, a trust person or elder law person, because those people are especially vulnerable. People with mild cognition, you know, are especially vulnerable to financial fraud, or we're just burning through money because they don't understand what's happening. So they might pay for 5 TVs and not recognize that they've bought 4 prior to that, or that they don't even need them. So we teach about financial awareness because I think that's paramount. You don't want to bankrupt a family because that's adding yet another layer of real hardship on a family. They're already dealing with a crisis. I think the other thing too is a lot of families come to me with security. How do we secure our home so that dad doesn't wander out in the middle of the night or turn on the stove in the middle of the night, you know, or get scared, you know what I mean, and go into the car in the middle of the night because he's not sure where he's at. So ways to secure our home and our families and ourselves so that and our loved ones so that we take that stress away. Other things we can do is how do we just interact? You know, what tools can we use in our toolkit to interact with our loved ones so they're not so stressed out? Sundowning is a big issue. I mentioned that before, too, where their internal body clock is a little wonky. So how do we deal with sundowning? Because what if your loved one's up all night? They're keeping you up all night and you have to go to work or something like that is happening. So how can we combat things that we know are prevalent in the disease a lot? What can we do to help families sort of mitigate those circumstances and do the best that they can to plan for those circumstances? I've learned that early planning with families where they have some expectation, they recognize these things could be coming and they're starting to plan for them, that is so important because that stress and anxiety can get so heavy for a family.
Is there a cure on the horizon? Possibly anything.
I'm glad you asked. We just sponsored a beautiful luncheon called The Reason to Hope. And Dr. Dean Hartley from our National MedSci Department in Chicago flew down for that. And I do feel hopeful. You know, we're mission bound as an organization to help loved ones, help our communities right now because the disease is so prevalent right now. I'm a vice president of public policy, so we need to advocate to our government, make sure they make it a top priority, like they did with HIV, like they did with breast cancer, like they did with heart. And as we do that as a community and as a country of legislators, yes, I feel like we see a lot more on the horizon, Julie, and people ask me a lot, well, these clinical trials failed in stage three, you know, phase three clinical trial that failed, Biogen failed, something else failed. That to me is hopeful because there's so many more in the pipeline than there ever was. So there's so many more researchers and scientists dealing with this disease, and the Alzheimer's Association is the world's largest private funder of research. So we have new and engaging, you know, exciting scientists that this is all they're living right now. This is all they're thinking about, and they're all across the globe. So in July, we host the biggest international conference in the world of all of the researchers and scientists who are working on Alzheimer's and dementia, and they do a brain dump, really sort of share best practices, what research studies they're doing. We see all these beautiful ones. There's usually so many more than there were last year. This year it's in London. So out of that, born out of that, again, you know, arises big clinical trials, big hope. I think for us, it's not just about research funding because we do a lot of that. It's about getting people to participate in trials. And that's sometimes that can be hard to do because people don't want to admit they have problems. But I say even healthy people, people that are at risk, you know, if my grandmother has it, that puts me at a greater risk. So I'll participate in a trial. So we have a trial match program that helps researchers pair to participants so they can get through the trial faster. So it's about expediting in every way we possibly can. So Alzheimer's is doing advocacy, research. We're helping the people in the field now that need us desperately until we find that cure. But I'm relentlessly optimistic. I believe truly it will happen for us while I'm working there. I hope that they run me out of a job. I hope so.
So if I'm a caregiver and I am in a situation where I feel like it's just hopeless, I don't know what to do when I'm listening to this show and I have not called you guys, what would you tell me to do?
I would tell you, and I hope you do, listeners out there, we have a 24/7 helpline. I've used it. On Christmas Eve, my grandmother got into a car and drove away and we didn't know where she was. And I know I'm not alone in that. I know that people have really busy, hectic lives that it's hard for them to pop in to do something or let me get a bunch of information. So I'd say to you, we have a 24/7 helpline. It's manned by dementia specialists 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, no matter what. So 1-800-272-3900. If you call that number, somebody on the other line is going to be able to help you right then and there when you need it. Or it might just be if you're not in crisis, but you need to know you're at that point in time where mom may need to place, you know, we might need to place mom. They're going to help you with a community resource finder to say, here's all the great resources in your community, you know, given your set of circumstances. And then my favorite thing that we do, besides the 1-800-272-3900 helpline, is we do care consultations in every community. So you can really call us, especially here in Jacksonville. We have a great gal, and set up a free care consultation, and she'll sit with you and your family, given your family set of circumstances, and work out a care plan for you. And I think that proved to be our biggest asset as a family for us personally. And I've seen it work very well for families who felt overwhelmed and overburdened to say, have someone sit down and say, let's work a plan out and actually do that.
It sounds like planning is very important because you also mentioned planning out your finances and that type of thing. And so it seems like planning is very important.
I think, you know, it's hard. Nobody plans for Alzheimer's. You know, nobody plans to be ill in that way for long periods of time. But I think if you start to see symptoms, and we know, sometimes we deny it. Sometimes we want to dismiss it. But I think I'm learning to be my own best health advocate and the best health advocate I can be for my family and say, I see something, let's get on that. So the earlier in the diagnosis we get it, the better we are in mitigating that experience and making it as It's not going to be stress-free. It's not going to be obstacle-free, but it's certainly going to be better because we'll be able to have a lot longer to plan on how we're going to manage that situation. What I really, what's really hard for me and sad for me to see is families in such dire crisis because a doctor didn't give a diagnosis for a year and a half, or we just didn't want to see it because it was too hard to look at. For a year or so, because you can get by for that long, but it's just going to get worse and sometimes in dramatic fashion. So I think the earlier we can get on board for our health and make sure if we see some things to say, and I don't want to scare our listener audience because it's not good to be afraid. It's good to be aware. Aware is good, and I think it's our best resource we have right now.
Please tell our listeners where they can go to get more information.
Well, one of my favorite places, obviously, is the 1-800-272-3900. But if you don't want to call and you don't want to talk to someone and you just want to look at all of the issues, I remember researching at ALZ.org. And you can type in sundowning and find the world's largest repository of information on sundowning. Or, if you've got wandering issues, or you're just worried because you're not sure what the symptoms are, you see some things in yourself or a loved one, and you just want to look at the warning signs and say, you know, how many do I pair up with this? The ALZ.org website has got so much, like I said, the world's largest repository, and we make sure that is constantly updated, not only with resources to help you figure out what to do next, but also to see how far we've come. Like I said, there's a reason I work for the Alzheimer's Association. To me, it was certainly a calling in life, but I'm relentlessly optimistic. I want to see the first survivor. I want to see it in my lifetime. And like I said, I want to be run out of a job. So all of the beautiful research that's going on right now is also on that website. And I like to go there to see what the latest and greatest clinical trials are as well.
And if someone wants to get in touch with the local organization, what do they do?
They can call us at 904-281-9077. Or if you don't want to call, you can go to ALZ.org and then /CNFL. And that's for Central North Florida, because we cover all that area. There's 83 chapters. And our chapter covers everything from North Florida all the way down into Space Coast area. So.
Michelle, thank you so much for coming in. I really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you as well for joining us this morning on Hot Topics. We'll see you next week. Same time, same place. Have a great week, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Hot Topics on Hot 99.5. Hot Topics is a presentation of Hot 99.5's Community Affairs Department. For more information about the program you just heard, visit myhot995.com, then click on Hot Cares. And join us again next Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. for another edition of Hot Topics on Duval's only R&B, the new Hot 99.5.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.